If you were here last week, you remember that there was an opportunity for us to write on sticky notes. There will be another opportunity this morning in a few minutes, and so as I begin, I'm going to invite you to take one or two or 17 pieces of note paper from the sticky notes. I did not have pens. If you need a pen, we will try and get you one, but hang on to these and you'll have an opportunity in a few minutes to do something with them. So last Sunday, I observed that there were only 22 days until Christmas. Now, I am no mathematician, but I do know that that means that today, we are 1 week ahead, further ahead in the calendar, and so that means that there are only 15 days until Christmas, which, in case anyone needs me to point it out, means there are only 14 days to get ready. So I'm going to take another moment for another deep breath. We just got our Christmas tree yesterday. So today, as has been mentioned, is the second Sunday of Advent. The Sunday whose theme, as we have heard already, is peace. And yes, I did choose the dove as a symbol of peace. To be honest, as I thought about peace in anticipation of this sermon, I couldn't help but feel a little overwhelmed. There are so many places in the world today where peace is lacking, if not absent. So many places. Too many places. Too many places where fear and terror dominate, where violence seems to be an accepted way of life, where human rights are disputable and human lives seem disposable. There are too many places where anxiety and uncertainty seem to reign, where tension and conflict are the norm, where grief and despair are overwhelming. And while it might go without saying, I'm going to say it anyway. These places are not all on the other side of the world somewhere far away from us. They're here too, within our country, within our communities, within our families, and within ourselves. There's no place, nor is there any person that is wholly exempt from conflict, tension, fear, anxiety, despair, all of those things that get in the way of peace. And so, like last week, in the interest of being honest, we're going to take a few moments to name some of those places because they're real. And while it can be uncomfortable sometimes to name them, as I and certainly others have acknowledged, denying their existence doesn't make them go away. In fact, not talking about the messy, hard to acknowledge, painful parts of life often just makes them messier. So before we talk about finding peace, we're going to acknowledge the reality of those places in our own lives and in the world where peace seems absent. And so I invite you now to get your sticky notes and to write a word or a phrase that represents to you a place, a situation, whether local or global, in which peace would be so welcome. And then I invite you again to come up. We've moved the cross, but I invite you to come up and stick those notes on the cross, partly as a way of acknowledging them in the presence of one another, and also as a way of offering them, turning them over as much as we can, releasing them from our tight grasp to God. So I invite you now to consider those places and name them. Thank you for your honesty and your courage in naming just some of those places. Clearly, as residents in this world, we do not have to imagine a scenario in which peace is not only lacking, but sometimes even seems impossible. So in the face of that reality, can we talk about peace in a way that matters? Is there some way that we, as people of faith, can really hope for peace and move toward peace and work for peace in the world and in our communities and in our families and in our souls? Or should we just give it lip service and say, yes, today is the second Sunday of peace, the second Sunday of Advent. The theme is peace. We love peace. We long for peace. Hooray for peace. Thank God that Jesus came and is coming again, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace and we love Jesus. Hooray for Jesus. And call it good and move on. It's tempting, right? Because there are so many places in the world and in our lives where peace feels elusive. It's tempting to give up on any hope of real peace and give it lip service, call it good, and move on to next Sunday, which is all about joy. On the other hand, there are so many places in the world and in our lives where peace is elusive that we can't just give it lip service and move on. We have to talk about peace and find a way to talk about it that matters. As people who claim to be disciples of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, we have a responsibility, I think, to be bearers of peace, promoters of peace, to work actively for peace in the world, beginning with actively working for peace within our own spirits. As people of faith, I think we have to give a big, fat no to lip service and a resounding, wholehearted, committed yes to being engaged in the work of peace. So let's get at it, as Ken Holmes would say, right here and right now, because that is the only time we have. So listen again to the first part of today's psalm. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. Those verses are all about God and what God did in times past, right? God restored, God forgave, God pardoned. So in those opening verses, we hear reminders of who God has been and what God has done in times past in relationship to God's people. And that's some pretty good stuff. So is it a reminder to God? Hey, God, remember when you did all this good stuff for your people? That was so awesome. Or maybe it was a reminder to God's people. Hey, let's not forget about that good stuff that God did in the past. It's not clear necessarily which of those things the psalmist had in mind. Probably, I would guess, a bit of both. But either way, it seems that the author is saying that it's important and good to remember that God has done good things for God's people in the past, especially when God's people are longing for God to do good things again. And I'm going to read the next section, which isn't part of the lectionary selection of this psalm, but I think it's pretty important to include. So listen to the next verses. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Something, it seems, has caused these people to be in distress, to feel as though God is angry with them. Something has led them to feel separated from God's mercy, recipients instead of God's wrath. They seem to be searching for God's presence and in desperate need of God's peace. Will you not revive us again? They plead, perhaps despairing. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Or in other words, reassure us of your presence with us and remind us of your love for us. Grant us your healing, O God, so that we might know ourselves to be whole. Fill us with your love so that we might know your peace. Those are longings and feelings that I can relate to. Feelings that resonate with my longing right now in these days for God's presence, God's tenderness, God's love, and God's peace. So I'm going to keep reading more of the psalm, and we're back to what we heard earlier. The psalmist goes on, acknowledging the need to listen for God in the midst of this distress, not separate from it, but right in the midst of it, trusting that as he listens, God will speak. He says, let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for God will speak peace to God's people, to God's faithful, to those who turn to God in their hearts. Did you hear that? God will speak peace to God's people, to those who turn to God in their hearts. There it is. That's the answer. All we have to do is turn to God in our hearts, and God will speak peace, and all shall be well. Easy peasy. I think I'm done here. Except that it's not easy peasy. Lemon squeezy, mac and cheesy. What is easy peasy is to focus on the world around us, to let our minds turn toward the anger, the conflict, the violence, the polarization, the untruths, the hatred, the suffering, the chaos, the darkness. These are the things toward which we seem to more easily turn in our hearts. It's also easy peasy to dwell on the world within us, the anxiety, the resentment, the fear, the doubts, the worries, the grief, the suffering, the chaos, the darkness. We seem to so much more easily let the gaze of our hearts remain focused on these things, turned toward these things. And yet, the psalmist says that God will speak peace to those who turn toward God in their hearts. God will speak peace to those who turn to God in their hearts. That's so powerful, because that peace, it seems to me, this peace that God offers does not rely on anything around us changing. It doesn't rely on the circumstances outside of us getting any better. It doesn't rely on the realities that are within us being any different. The only thing that changes, it seems to me, is the focus of our hearts, the direction of our spirit's gaze. God will speak peace to those who turn to God in their hearts. As we are able to turn toward God with our hearts, God's peace will come. The external circumstances that surround us don't have to change. What changes is the intensity of our focus on them and the tightness of our grip on them. The realities that are within us won't necessarily be any different. What will be different is the amount of energy that we give them. And so in the midst of all of the places that surround us and that are within us, where peace is lacking, not in denial of those places, but in acknowledgement of them, in the midst of them, as people of faith, we must turn and return and return to God in our hearts, choosing to look for God and listen for God first and foremost, making what is a hard and what must be a deliberate choice again and again and again, and let God speak God's peace to us. As we do that, maybe we will hear God whispering in our spirits, things like, don't be afraid. I am with you. And don't be afraid. You are my beloved. And don't be afraid. Life is so much more than what you can see. And don't be afraid. There is a light that has conquered the darkness. And don't be afraid. Love has won. Don't be afraid. Love has won. As we are able to turn in our hearts toward God again and again and again, God will speak peace to God's people, to you, to me, to us. And God's peace will come. Whether or not the circumstances around us get any better, whether or not the realities within us become any different, the thing that needs to change is the focus of our hearts, the direction of our spirit's gaze. God will speak peace to those who turn to God in their hearts. It's so simple, and it's so hard, and it's so powerful. So let us turn to God and return and return every day, every hour, every moment, every breath, if need be. Because man, oh man, do we need some peace. Man, oh man, do we need God's peace. So let us turn to God and return and return and look and listen for God's peace. And it will come. And it has come and is coming again in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen.